Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, Birth of Lord Krishna, Text Number 23. Shri Shuka Vacha,
Shri Shuka Vacha,
Atainam Atmajam Viksha,
Atainam Atmajam Viksha,
Mahapurusha Lakshanam,
Mahapurusha Lakshanam,
Devakitam Upadavat,
Devakitam Upadavat,
Kamsadvita Subhishmita,
Kamsadvita Subhishmita,
Shri Shukavacha,
Shri Shukavacha,
Shri Shukadeva Goswami said,
Shri Shukadeva Goswami said,
Atta, after this offering of prayers by
Vasudeva,
Enam,
this
Krishna,
Atmajam,
their son,
Viksha,
observing,
Mahapurusha
Lakshanam,
Mahapurusha Lakshanam,
with all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu,
Devaki,
Krishna's mother,
Tam,
unto him,
Krishna,
Upadavat,
offering prayers,
Kamsat, of Kamsa,
Bita,
being afraid,
Su, Vishmita,
and also being astonished by seeing such a wonderful child. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter having seen that her child had all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devaki, who was very much afraid of Kamsa and unusually astonished, began to offer prayers to the Lord. Purport, the word Suvishmita, meaning astonished, is significant in this verse. Devaki and her husband, Vasudeva, were sure that their child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and could not be killed by Kamsa. But because of affection, as they thought of Kamsa's previous atrocities, they were simultaneously afraid that Krishna would be killed. This is why the word Suvishmita has been used. Similarly, we were also astonished upon thinking of whether this movement will be killed by the Asuras or will continue to advance without fear. So what was the verse I just read? What does it mean? What's the meaning of it?
Just that, that they're astonished seeing the child, but also afraid of cancer. Astonished seeing one dimensional child and afraid of cancer.
Basically, what, anything else?
Next dimension.
The life dimension of the spirit has a new father, and the lack of the heals.
Yeah, he's certainly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he can't be killed. But. Yes.
The devotees even have the emotion of fear for Krishna.
Yes.
He was very much afraid of Kamsa, so materialistic.
Well, we don't want an interpretation, we just want what it actually says. So it says, Shishukavacha Atayanam Atmajam Viksha. So what does Viksha mean? Iksha. What does atta mean? Thereafter. Enam, this Krishna, Atmajam. What is Atma? What does Jam mean? What does Jam mean? Like Pankaja. Yes. And Atmaja? In this context, what does it mean? Atmaja. What's that?
The appearance.
Well, the Atmaja, Atmajam, means their son. So, Atainam Atmajam Viksha, thereafter they saw Krishna, their son. And how? Mahapurusha Lakshanam. What does that mean?
Symptoms.
Yes, with all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devaki, Tam, what is Tam?
There,
unto him, Krishna. Ta, Tam. Upadavat. Yes, offering prayers. So then Devaki began to offer prayers to Krishna, to him. Kangsad, Bita, Su, what is Vishmita? What does Su Vishmita mean?
Very wonderful.
He astonished.
Astonished.
Vishmita. And Su?
Something very.
Very. Exceedingly. Bita. Bita.
Fear.
So Kangsa Bita Su Vishmita. So very much astonished at seeing this child and very much afraid of Kangsa. And the translation as Prabhupada has it, Shukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, having seen that her child had all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devaki, who was very much afraid of Kangsa and unusually astonished, began to offer prayers to the Lord. So there's one thing sitting in class and kind of being here. The other is actually hearing what's going on. It's not so easy to actually hear what's going on, what's being said. Usually sit there and we wait for the class ends because then it's time for prasadam, which is a reward for sitting in class. Or we sit there and we wait for a joke so we can find something entertaining about the whole thing. Or something unusual, some story so we can feel good about being here, that we didn't waste our time hearing philosophy. But actually if we just listen, it's all a story. The whole thing is a story. We just have to enter into the story. And the only way we can do that is to actually hear. And to hear means that we should actually be perceiving it, realizing it, experiencing it, somehow or another. And here, for instance, it says, Devaki was very much afraid of Kangsa. And we think, oh, big deal. We know what's going to happen. Kangsa is going to be killed. What's there to be afraid of? But actually, it's one thing even to visualize. Here's Devaki. She's in the prison, Kangsa's prison with Vasudeva, and it says she's very much afraid. So, do we ever actually try and feel what she's feeling? Otherwise, we just listen to it as just like it's not even a story. The whole idea of stories, people write stories, you're supposed to emotionally enter into the story. Isn't that right? Not that it's just like some cartoon going on and there's no real emotions because they're not really people that are being described. They're just imaginary people, so how can they only have imaginary emotions? But actually, they have the real emotions and our emotions are imagination. So we should try and feel that here is Devaki, she's completely astonished because she's seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything. So we should try to feel or try to imagine what her astonishment would be like. And at the same time, due to motherly affection, she's feeling some fear of Kangsa. And she's seeing that Krishna has all the opulences of God. So we should try to visualize that and then try to feel what it's like, what it would be like. Just try to imagine what it would be like to be in the prison. Rather than trying to imagine what it would be like to be Devaki, or have the same mood that she has. But at least, if we were in the prison to see what was going on, how wonderful it would be. Suddenly this four-handed person appears with all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with a conch shell, lotus, club, and wheel in his hands, Srivatsa and Kastuba jewel and golden helmet. And Devaki's overwhelmed with wonder and fear and is about to offer prayers. So, in that situation, wouldn't you want to hear what she has to say? But if we just hear it, we don't really try to imagine what's going on. We think, oh, now some prayer, some more philosophy. Something more of that. But if we see, if we actually imagine what's going on, then we really want, if someone was in that circumstance, what would they say? So now we're going to find out what Devaki says. Shri Devaki Vacha Rupam Yattat Prabhur Vyaktam Adyam Brahmajotir Nugunam Nirvikaram Satamatram Nivishesham Niriham Satam Sakshad Vishnur Atyatmadipa. Sri Devaki said, my dear Lord, there are different Vedas, some of which describe you as unperceivable through words and mind. Yet you are the origin of the entire cosmic manifestation. You are Brahman, the greatest of everything, full of effulgence like the sun. You have no material cause. You are free from change and deviation. And you have no material desires. Thus the Vedas say that you are the substance. Therefore, my Lord, you are directly the origin of all Vedic statements, and by understanding you, one gradually understands everything. You are different from the light of Brahman and Paramatma, yet you are not different from them. Everything emanates from you. Indeed, you are the cause of all causes, Lord Vishnu, the light of all transcendental knowledge. So this is Devaki directly experiencing this. He's directly perceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not just saying some words that you are everything, trying to flatter Krishna, but she's actually realizing it, that Krishna is the source of everything. So just imagine if someone walked in the room who is the source of everything in this room here. All the colors, all the different forms, all the different smells and tastes, all the different types of opulence. Then we would actually think that this person is quite wonderful. If they had everyone's here personality blended together, everyone's wealth and fame and opulence, we think that this person is quite extraordinary. But think how insignificant this little room is here with our insignificant personalities and wealth and fame and knowledge. So just take all of Melbourne. How wonderful it would be if someone had all the wealth of Melbourne, all the knowledge of everyone in Melbourne, everyone, all their fame and strength, all rolled into one person. But think how insignificant Melbourne is. What about Australia? Or even this planet, which is completely insignificant. What does we do with this planet? The universe is insignificant. We can't even understand this planet. What to speak of Bharatvarsha? What to speak of Jambudvipa? What to speak of Bhumandala? What to speak of the higher planetary systems and the lower planetary systems? And this is one little, this is the smallest of all the universes. And inside the universe, the layers of the universes, there are living entities also. And you add them all together, still this universe is completely insignificant. And it's just like one little mustard seed and a whole bag of mustard seeds. And you add everything together, that still doesn't equal Krishna's personality. And then you take all the material creation, it's only a little fragment of the spiritual creation, and you add up the whole spiritual creation together, which is, we can't even begin to imagine what it's like, that still doesn't even come to a fraction of Krishna's personality. So then try and understand that this personality has now appeared before Devaki, and she says you're at the source of everything. So it's not some lighthearted statement that you, someone walks in and says, oh, you're the greatest. But she actually knows that Krishna is the greatest. She's serious. So this purport is, Vishnu is the origin of everything, and there is no difference between Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna, because both of them are Vishnu Tattva. In other words, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is not some little cult that the members of the movement had nothing better to do in the material world. They couldn't make it in the material world, so they invented a spiritual make-believe world. And they've gotten together and they've learned, you know, they've learned how to cook nicely and dance and chant. But there's nothing really beyond that. They're worshiping their imaginary God, just like the other religions worship their imaginary God, but they're competing on the street to get donations or something for their imaginary God. Now that Krishna is the source of everything, he's not just a other God that we've invented for our collection to sell some books with. But he's the origin of even Vishnu, who's in everyone's heart. From the Rig Veda we understand Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam. The original substance is the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who is also Paramatma and the effulgent Brahman. The living entities are also part and parcel of Vishnu, who has various energies. Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shriyate Svabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. Vishnu, or Krishna, is therefore everything. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Ahang Sarvasya Prabhavo Matak Sarvam Pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Krishna, therefore, is the original cause of everything. Sarva Karana Karana. When Vishnu expands in his all-pervading aspect, we should understand him to be the Nirakara Nivishesha Brahmajyoti. Although everything emanates from Krishna, he is ultimately a person. Ahamadirhi Devanam. He is the origin of Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. And from them, many other demigods are manifested. Krishna, therefore, says in the Bhagavad Gita 14.27, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, Brahman rests upon me. The Lord also says, Yepyanya devata bhakta, yajante sharyanvitaha, tepi mam eva kunteya, yajantya vidipurvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but is offered without true understanding. The Bhagavad Gita 9.23. There are many persons who worship different demigods, considering all of them to be separate gods, which in fact they are not. The fact is that every demigod and every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. Mamayvangso jivaloke jivabhutaha. The demigods are also in the category of living entities. They are not separate gods. But men whose knowledge is immature and contaminated by the modes of material nature worship various demigods according to their intelligence. Therefore, they are rebuked in Bhagavad Gita, Kamais tais teritigyana prapadyante na devata. Because they are unintelligent and not very advanced and have not properly considered the truth, they take to the worship of various demigods or speculate according to various philosophies, such as the Mayavadi philosophy. Krishna, Vishnu, is the actual origin of everything. As stated in the Vedas, Yasya Bhasha Sarvam Idam Vibhati. The Absolute Truth is described later in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.15 as Satyam Jnanam Anantam Yad Brahma Jyoti Sanatanam. The Brahma-jyoti is sanatana, eternal, yet is dependent upon Krishna. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. The Brahma-samhita states that the Lord is all-pervading. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. He is within the universe and he is within the atom as Paramatma. Yasya prabha pravato jagadandakoti kotishvashesha Vasudhari Vibhuti Bhinam. Brahman is also not independent of him. Therefore, whatever a philosopher may describe is ultimately Krishna or Lord Vishnu. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. According to different phases of understanding, Lord Vishnu is differently described, but in fact he is the origin of everything. Because Devaki was an unalloyed devotee, she could understand that the same Lord Vishnu had appeared as her son. Therefore, after the prayers of Vasudev, Devaki offered her prayers. She was very much afraid, frightened because of her brother's atrocities. Devaki said, "My dear Lord, your eternal forms like Narayan, Lord Rama, Shesha, Varaha, Nrisingha, Vamana, Baladev, and millions of similar incarnations emanating from Vishnu are described in the Vedic literature as original. You are original because all your forms as incarnations are outside this material creation. Your form is existing before this cosmic creation was created. Cosmic manifestation was created. Your forms are eternal and all-pervading. They are self-effulgent, changeless, and uncontaminated by the material qualities. Such eternal forms are ever cognizant and full of bliss. They are situated in transcendental goodness and are always engaged in different pastimes. You are not limited to a particular form only. All such transcendental eternal forms are self-sufficient. I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord Vishnu. We may conclude, therefore, that Lord Vishnu is everything, although he is also different from everything. This is the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy." In other words, if one worships the demigods, Krishna says, "Antavantu pulam tesham tadbhavat yotpamedasam deva deva yajo yanti madbhakti yanti mamapi." That those who worship the demigods, their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who go to the planet, those who worship the demigods, go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees reach my eternal abode. In other words, the material world is a place where everyone has a very limited conception of things. Everything here is limited both by our body, because we can't do very much beyond what our body can do. And if we try to escape the bodily limitations with our imagination, still our imagination is also very limited. It's limited to our bodily experience, practically speaking. Or by hearing some books, fairy tales, whatever we can imagine. But real freedom from all limitations comes when one understands Krishna and how things are related to Krishna. That there's no limitation for Krishna. And when one reaches Krishna consciousness, there's also no more limitation. Until that, everyone is struggling with the limitations imposed by the external energy, both gross and subtle. And therefore no one can be satisfied here, because no one wants to be limited. Everyone wants complete freedom, and here there is only bondage. Although we think bondage is very nice, because here in imitation of Radha and Krishna, we accept the bondage. As long as my false ego is being satisfied that I'm playing the role, the part in this great play called Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Here everyone is pretending either to be Radha or Krishna. But it is just a play, because no one here is actually Radha and no one here is Krishna. Everyone is a fool put into a material body and is suffering all different types of limitations. That here in the material world, you go one inch beyond the skin and you find out what Radha and Krishna really look like deep inside, what their internal activities are. But in Radha Krishna's pastimes, the internal state of Radha and Krishna is no different from their external. And even if there's some difference, it is all different states of bliss. Here it's all states of misery, trying to solve our limited problems. Therefore, we're involved in so many activities, but all the activities keep us in the limited conception of life also, limited experience. But the conditioned soul is satisfied here because he thinks he's enjoying. Of course, from the spiritual point of view, it's not enjoyment. But from the relative point of view, there is something called enjoyment and suffering. Although it's all suffering, but relatively it appears sometimes to be suffering, sometimes it appears to be enjoyment. But when one comes to Krishna consciousness, there's only enjoyment and there's no more suffering. And even it appears sometimes that there's suffering, just like Devaki here seems to be suffering due to fear of Kamsa, but that suffering or that fear, which is one of the seven indirect rasas, simply attaches one more to Krishna, and since Krishna is only enjoyment, that so-called suffering actually is a cause of great ecstasy and bliss. Just like a mother, if there was only one emotion, she only had this called sthayi bhava, the emotion of being a mother. But if that was it, I'm a mother, it wouldn't be much of a relationship with the child. And if the so there's also vibhava, there is, and in vibhava there is something called the udipan and the alampana. So udipan, alampana. So that means that there is shaya, vishaya and ashraya. Ashraya means the reservoir of a certain mellow. Mellow means a certain relationship with Krishna. Just like here in the material world, the ashraya in a parental relationship is the mother and the father. And the vishaya is the child. And the udipans are all the different things that remind the parents of the child. The child's bib, the child's cradle, all these different things invoke the feeling of being a mother or father. And sometime after this feeling is invoked, then there's some symptom in the parental relationship in the Vedic culture. When the mother Jasoda, Nana Maharaj would see Krishna, then Nana Maharaj would smell Krishna's head. And Mother Jasoda would caress Krishna and feed him her breast milk. So this is called anubhava, the subsequent feelings and activities which follow from the vibhava. And then there is sometimes something called sattvika bhava. Due to the intense meditation, ecstasy, the different areas of the body become disturbed, and they disturb the different elements in the body, such as the earth element, which causes one to become stunned, the water element, which causes tears in the eyes, the air element, which causes one to tremble. So the different bodily element, or the fire element, causes one to perspire. The different elements in the body become disturbed due to the intense ecstasy, and they manifest themselves as sattvika bhavas. And also there's times when there is vyabhichari bhavas. And one of them is fear. Just like a mother, she loves her child, but if she suddenly sees her child crawling on the edge of the roof, about to jump off, to drop off, she doesn't think, oh, just another kid down the drain. No, immediately she becomes greatly disturbed and thinks of how to protect the child in great fear. So that fear doesn't detract from her parental or motherly affection. It actually increases her motherly affection. So similarly, Devaki, although in one sense she knows that Krishna is God, but she still has motherly affection for Krishna. Therefore, she's afraid simultaneously. So this seems inconceivable to us. How is it possible that one can see someone who's the source of everything and at the same time feel some fear? But this is an extension of her ecstasy. Her personality is that she's in maternal relationship with Krishna, and therefore she doesn't forget the circumstances, although she has some knowledge here of Krishna's greatness, but still her feelings do not diminish when she thinks about her Krishna's possibility of his being harmed by Kamsa. So we can experience that a little bit ourselves, just like we can have a philosophical class and we can understand that we're not the body. And everyone here will intellectually understand or even partially realize the difference between ourselves and the body. But at the end of the class, we'll fully identify ourselves with the body and go and fully enjoy the body to the best we can under certain rules and regulations, because we have some theoretical understanding that we're not the body. Therefore, we restrain our activities to some degree. But still, we'll, due to our false ego, we'll still identify with the body, although we know we're not the body. So this is inconceivable, called Mahamaya, not little Maya, great Maya. So there's also something called Yoga Maya, where someone can simultaneously understand Krishna as God and not take it very seriously. Just like we understand that we're not the body and the mind, but we don't take it very seriously. Although we accept it as reality, but still it's not very important to us. So similarly, they accept as reality that Krishna is God and know it sometimes, but they don't take it as very important. So this is maybe inconceivable, but just we can meditate on the difference between ourselves and the body and how much importance we take the difference between myself and the body, that I'm a soul, and how much we're absorbed in feeling about our present body and mental situation, how much we take it seriously, and how much we take it seriously that Krishna, that we're spirit. Therefore, something similar is there in the spiritual world, but much purer and much more intense. Because the material world means we hardly experience anything here, because we're asleep. We're so dull and asleep. It's compared to someone bitten by a snake, and they don't die, they're just in a comatose-like position. So presently, our emotions, our experience is just all very, very limited. So therefore, we have no idea, or we have little idea, what real emotions are like, because we're only experiencing the artificial, shadow-like emotions and activities of the material existence. And we take this as everything, but it's so limited and insignificant that when one becomes fascially aware of Krishna, one doesn't even take it seriously anymore. Or seriously in the sense that one understands that it's just a shadow of reality, the material existence. Just like if you saw a shadow of an apple, you wouldn't try and eat it, because it wouldn't be very productive. Instead, you look for the real apple. So once we understand that this is just a shadow of real existence, therefore we lose interest in material activities and become more interested in the real reality, namely the spiritual existence. So in that spiritual existence, there is actually cities and villages and activities and everything else going on. Although we think that this is very important in the modern society, what's going on in the world, that this is real in reality, what the politicians decide and what the new inventions are, but it's all just a shadow of the actual reality. So once we enter there, we'll have our family and friends, and we'll have our relationships, and we'll have our deep relationship with Krishna, and that will go on forever. But we won't think, oh, this is the same old relationships, I've been here before, I've done it before. No, it'll always be new and fresh and ever more wonderful. It's ever more wonderful for Krishna and for all his devotees there. And we'll actually feel at home. Here, no one can really feel at home. Everyone's trying to identify themselves with a certain place, a certain house, a certain country, but it all falls apart, including the body that we identified with. But there, it doesn't fall apart, it just gets better. So it's something to look forward to. And we should hear from these personalities such as Devaki and Vasudeva and try and understand what their experience is, because it's a direct experience of reality. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Sometimes devoting my love to our service and perceive some suffering. It seems like a very near effect, perhaps might be that do my service because I don't want to suffer. But how to come to that proper path?
Well, start with there. Do your service at least for some reason. And if we can see that I'm doing it so I don't suffer, well, we can also, if we have the intelligence, we can do it to please Krishna. So we can be actually get the source, come in contact with the source of all enjoyment. So it takes some knowledge. The Shudra, the person in the mode of ignorance, they don't want to suffer because they are suffering. But that's good. The aim of life is not suffering. The aim of life is to get out of suffering. But they just want to end the suffering, but they don't want the positive. So we find out what the positive, that will include the ending, all the negative, that will eliminate all the negative if we actually get into the positive. But just getting out of the negative doesn't mean that we get into the positive. And without getting into the positive experience, then we'll seek after experience, and that may wind up negative again. That will be a cause of suffering too. So the only real way of entering all suffering is to actually enter into the positive consciousness. Anything else? Okay, Grantaraj, yes.
The Bharata Shri mentioned, is it bigger than its planet or it's considered to be part of the planet?
What's that?
Bharata
Shri mentioned. We are in Bharata Shri.
So is it bigger than the planet of this planet?
Well, I'm not really so sure. I haven't really seen the geographical map of Bharata Shri. But generally it's considered to be limited. This is just one of the varshas in Jambudvipa. But whether it extends beyond our present perception, it probably does. There's probably a lot of places on this earth we haven't really seen, although we think we know everything.
And what is a Jambudvipa?
Jambudvipa includes the other varshas. And Jambudvipa is one of the, I guess, 9 varshas on this Bhumandala. It's all in the 5th canto, if you want to read that. Okay, anything else? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oh, we welcome back Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, and Srimati Subhadadev. Lord Jagannath Ki Jai, Lord Baladev Ki Jai, Srimati Subhadadevi Ki Jai. You look quite healthy now. Don't throw any water on them, they get sick sometimes.